Okay, the title of my message this morning is Let Go and Let God. Okay, let go and let God. I think one of the things that's very clear is that we all need to change, don't we? We all need to change. And I think a lot of us want to change. And we know we need change. And if you don't, just turn to someone in your family and ask them, do you think I need to change? That may be a dangerous question to ask, couldn't it? And don't go ask my wife if I need, well, the answer's simple, yes. We all need to change, don't we? There's always something in your life you need to be changing. And for somebody that's been in church for a long time, how many people have been in church more than 10 years? Okay, that's a lot of us. Okay. I think what can happen in our Christian walk is that to change becomes actually a striving. It's easy, I suppose, in our Christian walk for it to become a set of rules that we keep. It becomes, dare I say it, religious. It's about doing a whole lot of things and making sure. It's making sure you're at church because that's what you have to do. And it becomes a whole lot of doing things. Or we're at the other case where we've actually given up and we've stopped letting God change us. And we actually think, oh, I don't need it anymore. I suppose we've given up in believing that things in our life can change. We get in the stage where we go, there's habits in my life that's the way they are. They're always going to be there. Or the third one is that you are continually growing and you are seeing God move in your life. I think for me, I go through all those three stages at different times. Sometimes you're really working on everything in your life, and sometimes you get to the stage where you think, man, I've got this sussed, and most of the time when I get to that stage, I suddenly, God shows me something that makes me realize that actually I haven't got it sussed at all. I'm completely out of control. You know, sin is something that can start living in us. Well, without Jesus, sin is living in us. It's like a virus in us. Sin is like a virus in us. It's like a thing with it. In Ephesians 2, it says this, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin. It's a fascinating thought to think sin was just part of you. You just lived it. It came out. You didn't think about it in a sense. You just did it. It was who you were. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. His spirit at work in our hearts. Now, I don't know whether we often think that the enemy's working in our hearts. Do you think that? I hope he isn't, but if you don't have Jesus in your heart, yes, he is. He's working in your heart. It's part of our character to sin. It's part of our nature to sin. All of you used to live that way, following the passions and desires and the inclinations of your sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger like everyone else. So the thing was, is that our nature was sinful. Now, I think often we put sin into a bracket of an action. So sin is an action of lying. Sin is an action of stealing. And we think of it just in that context. It's something I did. Whereas actually sin is something that you are. It's something that comes out of you. And I was reading recently and it said that, you know, in the Hebrew language, there's 8 different words for sin. 8 different words. That's just in Hebrew. The Greek has their own. And look, here's just a few of them. Sin is being broken. It's i.e. that we are broken as people. We hurt people. We say things, we do things that hurt people. What is that? That's part of our broken nature. We miss the mark. Sin is missing the mark. You know, perfection is that I love someone with no conditions and no attachments, but I miss the mark sometimes because I judge people and I reject them based on things that they've done to me. Sin is crookedness, being perverse. Sin is trespassing. It's doing something wrong, offending, being guilty. of something. And it's our nature that we are guilty. Sin is a debt. You know, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sin. But we also say, forgive us our debts. It's the same sort of, it's the same word coming out to talk about sin. So sin is something that's in us that is part of our nature. I've got four kids. I never sat down and went, okay, young guys, this is how you sin. This is how you tell mum and dad a lie. I didn't need to. They just did it. Why is that? Because sin is in our fallen nature. The nature we are born in causes us to sin. And Paul, I think, puts it one of the best ways in Romans 7, verse 14. I don't know, I often read this verse and go, yes, that's me. Let me read this to you. Romans 7, verse 14 says, so the trouble is not with the law. So the law is about rules. The trouble is not with rules, for it is spiritual and it's good. Rules are good, but the trouble with it is that I am too human and I'm a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself. This is Paul talking. Paul, who was an extremely intelligent guy, who wrote most of the New Testament, he's going, the trouble with me is that I'm a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Do you find that? Some intentions, oh, I'm going to do that, but I don't know, sometimes we get laid, we just don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing the wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. Sin living in me that does it. And I know that verse 18, I know that nothing good lives in me, that in my sinful nature, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing the wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. Okay? You're starting to get the picture? We've all got this sin nature within us. I've discovered this principle of life, that what I want to do, so that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me, at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the answer. So you see it how it is. In my mind, I am really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. The sinful nature within you and me, it just makes us sin. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is Jesus Christ. I was trying to think of a picture, and we went away on holiday, and we left some people to stay in our house. And when we left on holiday, my pool was crystal blue, clear, beautiful water. Unfortunately, when I got back, no one put any chlorine in, and it was green, a green pool. It's all right. It is now crystal clean again. I put in some stuff and cleaned it up. But in our sense, in our lives, sin nature is something that's within us. Now, often we try to hide it on the outside. We try and do the right things. We try and say the right things. But still, our nature is sinful. And we need Jesus to change it. We try to behave, but who we are comes out, and we can only act for so long. The real person is what you're like at home, or what you're like when you're by yourself and nobody knows what you're doing. That's the real you coming out. And so many of us are trying to do the right thing and trying to live, and I think at times we move into living, instead of by God's grace, we live by our will. we begin to use our willpower. You know, it's about my willpower to stop doing the wrong thing. It's about my willpower to change what I'm doing and say the right thing. But willpower has no power against the careless word or the fact that you have a nature within you that's sinful. The only way that you can deal with what's within you is by letting God change you. See, it's the power of transformation. It's this letting go and letting God work in you. Now, if you've been around church for a long time, you'll have heard this talk lots. And even I have. Yet it's only recently that I've just, afresh started thinking about the power of God working within me to change me. And that's why I've got let go and let God. Let God transform you. Now, one of the things, one of the reasons this got me going was we've been reading a book called... it's a Celebration of Discipline. Has anybody ever read the book Celebration of Discipline? Okay. It's a good book. It's a tough read, but it's a good book. And in this book, a guy, Richard Foster, is talking about the disciplines in our lives and about putting good disciplines into your life. And he has 12 of them. So there's 12 chapters on it. But in the first chapter, and a lot of what I'm quoting today comes out of this first chapter, it talks about how so often we're sort of walking down this line where so often we step into, instead of letting God work in our lives, we will work in our lives. We will change ourselves. We will do it by will. I will do these things. And we end up doing things that are seen but don't change us on the inside. And he says the whole point of these disciplines is to put you in the position where God can change you. So the disciplines he talks about are meditation. He talks about, so these are the inward ones, prayer, fasting, study. He talks about outward disciplines like simplicity and solitude and submission and service. And then corporate things like confession, something that I don't know whether the Pentecostal churches have got as well. When we don't well sit down with someone and say, hey, I'm struggling in this area, and confess our sin. Now, I think you've got to be careful where you do it, but it is a good practice. Worship. We do worship well. Guidance and celebrating and church, I think we do those things well. But this whole first chapter talked about putting yourself in a position where the Holy Spirit can work on you. Because again, salvation, yes, is a moment in one sense where you ask God to forgive you and he forgives you. But in another sense, it's a continual work of God sanctifying you. It's a continual work of God changing me on the inside and letting him work and have power to change who I am. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, part B, to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief and truth. In simplicity, I come to Jesus and I ask him to forgive me of my sin, and I believe that he cleanses me and takes away all my sin. What am I believing? I'm believing that he's taking away that sin nature. That nature, that bias towards sin, I'm believing that he's changing that in me. And the process is that he is continually changing my nature, so that my nature becomes pure, becomes God-controlled. That my nature is changed. Who I am is changed. I've been changed to be like Jesus. So what happens then is when God's changed you on the inside, it's not that you do good, you are good. It's a whole change. It's not a mechanical thinking through what I must do to be good. No, you automatically do it because your nature is changed. The problem is that I think we stop letting God change our nature. And we take over control again. See, we must let the Holy Spirit continually work in our nature. Continually work in us. See, going to church doesn't change you. Going to church puts you in a position where you can change, but you can go to church for years and not change. Yeah, you know, doing worshiping God doesn't change you. But it puts you in a position where he can change you. It's all about location and position. It's all about, see, reading the Bible doesn't change you. But it puts you in a position where God can change you. Now here's the thing. We fight in our mind, do I have to read my Bible? No, you don't have to read your Bible. But reading your Bible will put you in a position where you hear from God and God starts to change your life. It's like we're on you know those pictures where you see of these mountain ranges and there's this guy walking along the very top, and on both sides there's a sheer drop to either side. And it's like we're walking our Christian walk along the top of there. Very quickly we can fall off this side by suddenly doing it by it being outward things that we must do. And by bringing rules and saying, I'm good because I'm doing all the rules. You know, I'm going to church and, you know, I'm not doing this and I am doing this. And we end up basing it on rules. And you know how, the way I can tell someone's a rule giver is when they start pushing rules on other people. When we start judging people according to the outside. It's all about actions. As soon as you get onto that side, you fall off a huge cliff. Because you've got to keep coming back and saying, it's by grace that I'm saved. It's a gift from God. I am righteous not because of what I do, but because of what he's done. As soon as I say, I'm righteous because I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're righteous because God's changed you. And in a sense, we need to let go and let God just do it. But do you know there's another side on the other side here? Where we can go to? Well, I'll just let God work in me. God should just do it. Which, it doesn't need me. Hold on a minute though. I need to put myself in a position where I'm going to let God work in me. See, the path doesn't change me, but the path puts me in a position where God can change me. And I think my challenge and the challenge for all of us this year is letting God change us supernaturally. Letting God transform you into a new person. You know, one of my favorite verses is Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I sometimes have felt that I've gone onto this side of thinking, yeah, well, if I just learn things and knowledge things, and then I'll know and then I'll change the way I think. No, it's a miraculous working of God where he works on your thinking that you begin to change. He works on your habits because you're just letting God work on you. You see, we believe in what I would call experiential Christianity. What do I mean by that? I mean that we believe that you can experience God. That it's a relational experience we have with God. It's not just a whole lot of knowledge. It's just not a whole lot of information about God. It's that God is living and wants to communicate with you and me. And he communicates with our spirit and our heart, and he changes us. Unfortunately, we're in a very materialistic world that I think causes us to have a lot of doubts at times. And a lot of the information we get is all knowledge about it. You can change by changing. You know, if you do these 5 steps, you'll change. Or it's just a matter of changing your habits. And, you know, you can change your habits in 28 days if you do. Like, we think it's all materialistic. But really, the change comes when we let the supernatural God work in our spirit. When we accept salvation, we're going, we believe that God has forgiven me and cleansed me and taken away my sin nature. And then we're in this process of continually letting God work in us to change us to be more like him. And it's a continual process. It's a continual process of putting ourselves in position where we will let God work into our lives. My question to you is, are you in a position where God's working on you? Are you letting God work on you? Or have you jumped one side or the other? And since this side, sometimes we become lazy. Oh, we'll do, you know, God will just do it. Or on this side, we start getting into, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And you know, there's a lot of Christians that are driven. I've got to do this. No, no. It's this position of going, God's working in me. The Holy Spirit's working in me. I've got this picture of the Holy Spirit flowing through every part of my body. A few weeks ago, just before Christmas, I talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit being into you is like water flowing. A great picture of the spiritual atmosphere or the spiritual realm of how the Holy Spirit works is water. And in our lives, we've got liquid and water just fills our whole world. If you take away water, we got problems, haven't we? Major problems. Everything stops in our world without water. Every living thing needs water. It flows through it. It gets rid of the bad stuff and it refreshes. Well, we need the Holy Spirit in our life, continually working through our life, flushing out the bad stuff in our life, giving us a life, the Holy Spirit flowing in you and changing you. You know, the change you want is that you don't try and be good, you are good. We let go and we let God change you. If you want to change this year, you've got to let go and let God change you. You've got to understand, hey, without God, I can't do this. It's an internal work. You know, we can't work on our internal. We try with our thinking, but it doesn't work. We need God to transform our thinking. We need the supernatural touch of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you close your eyes?